Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Hello, Now Playing listeners. This is Arnie, here to tell you that our Spring 2017 donation drive is coming to a close. The last new podcast in this donation drive was just released, War for the Planet of the Apes. That concludes our 9-part Planet of the Apes retrospective series. It's a movie that dethroned Spider-Man Homecoming at the box office, and Stuart, Jacob, and I were really anxious to see this film. Stuart and I even went to the Planet of the Apes movie marathon leading up to that release. And that review, plus all of our Planet of the Apes, Aliens, and Pirates of the Caribbean reviews are available only until the end of the month through our standard donation, and then the price also is going to go up a bit in Podbean. Here's a clip of our War of the Planet of the Apes review for you to listen to.
This is a really solid opening. It doesn't begin like the other two. Normally, we're used to starting with an extreme close-up on eyes. I think the movies are bookended usually that way. Here, it's a tracking shot, and we think that it might be an ape because we're in the jungle, but then we see the helmets, and I love how they've been scrawled, you know, as soldiers tend to. They name themselves Monkey Killer, Endangered Species, or my favorite, Bedtime for Bonzo.
Yeah, they definitely go for that Vietnam feel. I'm thinking of the Smiths' Meet His Murder album cover. Over here with, yeah, those scrawls. But they also have donkeys. And by donkeys, I don't mean donkeys, I mean apes. There are apes that are aiding the humans in this slaughter against other apes.
That was the most wonderful surprise for me of this movie. I'm like, wait a second. I get this is humans versus apes, but apes are helping? This one, they call him Red Donkey. I think his name was just Red, but all the soldiers call all of their slave gorillas donkeys. And I'm like, there's a gorilla there, okay, wait, are these humans on the side of the apes, or are these apes on the side of the humans? It wasn't until I saw them doing sniper fire on a ape on the back of a horse that I realized that, yeah, they had subservient apes. Another one's up in the tree helping lookout, so there's more than even just the one.
You know, last movie, Caesar, you know, he was under the false impression ape would not hurt ape. And now I like that that's taken off the table. This is a world where your species is not going to define which side of the battle line you're on. And so that makes it really interesting. You got to work harder to pay attention. Now you can't just assume you're going to be watching monkey versus biped.
You mentioned Vietnam, Jacob. Did you notice that the troops were calling the enemy the Kong?
Yes.
You know, you got Viet Cong, you got King Kong. It was clever.
Yeah, and this movie is definitely going to take a lot from a Vietnam War movie I really admire called Apocalypse Now, many times.
Apocalypse?
Yeah, I mean,
Here's the thing. They can take from that movie all they want. That's great. Until they literally scrawl it across the screen.
Yeah, I know. Yes, we'll talk about how far they take it. But again, I think Matt Reeves, the director of this film, the director of the last film as well, he has good taste. He's drawing from the right sources to get me excited. And when we get this opening battle here with them firing on the trenches, thinking they have the upper hand, and then all of a sudden a whole posse of apes with like war paint on horses come riding in. Yeah, this is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, and I'll say it again, we praised it last time, the special effects. I mean, they, again, look amazing. I don't know what's real and what's not. Like, I know walking apes aren't real, but they certainly look real in this, like the fur, everything. They have, again, topped themselves here. There's one moment with the Steve Zahn monkey. I think they used an animatronic. It's very weird looking. But yeah, all this, technically, this is a great film. Special effects-wise, looks beautiful, looks convincing, is great.
Oh, absolutely. This reaches new heights of technological believability. I mean, there's a scene where Caesar is going to put his hand out into a waterfall. You see the droplets of water like the water is real. And for all I know, maybe it is. And you see it mat his hair and the hairs move individually. And the fact that I did say this was like a silent movie and there's so much face acting going on.
A lot of close-ups in this movie.
Yeah. And I was able to see some of the making of how Weta Digital did this with the HBO. And this isn't green screen. They have real actors in real environments wearing mocap suits. And I admire every one of these actors so much because they showed Andy Serkis moving, and then they put an ape over him, and we saw the different layers as the ape got better in graphics. But they never changed his movements. He is able to move his body in a way that once you put a digital gorilla suit on him,
It's completely believable, and his facial expression does come through, and this movie's going to ride a lot on Serkis's facial expressions and conveying his emotion and his mood through that. I've never seen a film as well done and with effects as impactful as what Weta has done here.
Yeah, it's great. And notable, watching that marathon, you see how it's grown. Like, that first one's a little rough now. Like,
I remember that baby monkey not looking too good.
Not every shot is completely convincing, and now every shot is completely convincing.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's to the point that, just to look at the film overall, I honestly believe that we're reaching a point now where, come Oscar season, the big question becomes, how can you overlook actors who are under digital skin? You know, is this an effects Oscar? Is this a performance Oscar? How do you separate the two? Where does the performance end and the effects begin? I know already that Fox is pushing to get Serkis nominated for Best Actor. And
here's the thing. Actors vote in that category. I think it's going to be a long time before they do that. You know, a little makeup here or there. Nicole Kidman won for wearing a funny nose in The Hours. But by and large, actors don't want this to become their craft. So Serkis has a no shot in my mind. Even though he's great. I'm not knocking his performance. I just know the politics of the Academy Awards, and actors are not going to want to see more of this.
And getting to the politics of this movie, when Caesar comes to this battle, we see that he is not bloodthirsty. We saw his journey in the last one where he's betrayed by one of his friends, but he is willing to let these humans go, to send them back to the colonel. That is his message, that, hey, I'm not going to kill you guys. I'm going to let you go back. So stop this war.
Yeah, but it got pretty bloody before that. I mean, when the apes came back, it rained arrows and spears. I mean, it's not like the apes were weak and negotiating from a point of weakness. They make it kind of seem that way because the apes are all afraid, and we're going to see the apes on the run. They're ready to move out of their home and go to the desert. I don't know how many apes could live in a desert where they're going to find food and all of that.
Seems like a really bad choice.
I mean, I know the original Planet of the Apes, they were in a desert, but that desert was Manhattan.
Yeah, I thought when they, just jumping ahead a little bit, when they said, oh, we found a place to live, I'm like, wow, they're going to go all the way from California to New York? That's crazy.
Not quite.
I think they get to Arizona, maybe.
There's many problems I have with the writing here, and one of them is that I feel like they're indebted to do things that call back to that original series that aren't very logical. And yes, nuclear annihilation meant that the apes had to live in deserts. But that's not how an ape would naturally want to live. And if there's only a few humans left, there's a lot of forest still out there. I don't think you have to go desert quite yet. But one thing that's a carryover from the last movie that I think we all had a problem with gets addressed right away. We thought that Caesar was very flip about killing Koba, that he had broken his own rule and that it didn't come with much consequence. And here, this ape is haunted by Koba. Literally, he will continue to have visions of Koba, who doesn't appear as a character. I assume that was foreshadowing for his inevitable return in flesh and blood. No, Koba is a figment in his mind taunting him that he is a false leader.
If you'd like to hear that review, plus all of our Planet of the Apes movie reviews, head to nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. There you're going to find details about our spring donation drive that ends July 31st, where for $10 or more, you get 5 bonus reviews of all 5 Pirates of the Caribbean films. For $25 or more, you get a total of 11 bonus podcast reviews, the 5 Pirates of the Caribbean films, plus 6 Alien reviews, because we did review the new Alien Covenant. Stuart is famously unhappy with Prometheus when it came out. Did Covenant do better? You can donate and find out. And then, yes, for $40 or more, the Platinum level, you get 20 podcasts, and that includes all the Alien podcasts, all the Pirates of the Caribbean podcasts, and 9 Planet of the Apes podcasts. Also, if you've been enjoying Twin Peaks on Showtime, we do have a peaking level of donation where you can hear us review every episode of Twin Peaks, from the original series to Showtime's new Twin Peaks The Return, which is going to give you an extra bonus episode for 7 more weeks to come as we do all 18 episodes of Showtime's new series. And it is now playing's 10th anniversary, so if you want to hear some of our older reviews, such as the Quentin Tarantino series, Return of the Living Dead, Edgar Wright's Blood and Ice Cream Trilogy, and more. There's links to each of those shows on Podbean at nowplayingpodcast.com. And later this week, we're going to have another bonus review, Galaxy Quest, for our patrons. In addition to donating to us directly, if you become a Now Playing patron on Podbean, you can hear all of these bonus reviews from our donation drive, plus get exclusive reviews. Galaxy Quest coming out this Friday. We've also done Coherence, Hook, Monster Trucks, and The Warriors. Again, all the details at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. We'll be back on Tuesday, on Totally Free Tuesday, with our review of T2 Trainspotting before we go back to theaters again many weeks in a row with Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk, Stephen King's The Dark Tower, and Annabelle 2. We hope you enjoy all of those shows, and I'll talk to you Tuesday.
He finally really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
The film discussed in this podcast is the property of its respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended.
You know what they say, human see, human do.
Now Playing Podcast is not affiliated with the makers or distributors of these films.
You are asking me to risk imprisonment for the sake of two fugitive apes? Well, the answer is 1,000 times yes.
The opinions expressed in Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Get out of my head!
Now Playing's Planet of the Apes retrospective series is a Venganza Media production. Copyright 2017. All rights reserved. And no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Stop! Stop! Caesar forbids you!
And that completes my final report until we reach touchdown. We're now on full automatic in the hands of the computers. I've tucked my crew in for the long sleep, and I'll be joining them soon.